Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live this week from SDPB's Black Hills studio, and some of our favorite folks have stopped by the studio for an update. I think we always sit down with Mini Luzahan Okola Kichiapi ambassadors whenever we can, so far every time that we've spent a week out here in the hills. And so with me in the studio, we have the MOA Executive Director, Karen Mortimer. Karen, thanks for being here. Oh,
thank you, Lori. Happy to be here.
Also with us, Sarah Pierce. She is Director of Indian Education for Rapid City Area Schools. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
And then Heather Dawn Thompson. She's a primary researcher. She's many things, including a Bush Fellow. But today we're going to talk about the Indian Schools Lands Project, and she's been the primary researcher on that effort going forward. So thanks for being here, Heather.
Absolutely. Good morning, Lori.
Karen, let's start with you. So just a quick overview, because our time will fly by here, but of who MOA is and some of the update of what exactly has been going on lately. I think most of our listeners know, but if they don't,
sure.
This is a group that does what?
Well, the Mini Luzahan Okola Kichiapi means Rapid City Circle of Friends, which is always good to remind everyone. The Mini Luzahan is Rapid City Swiftly Moving Waters. Circle of Friends. And our work, we really believe that history and place matter and that relationships matter. And we're finding both are incredibly important, but they balance each other, and we can't do our work without that. We also have a little acronym we call BEAM that really kind of circles around our work, and that's bridging cultures, educating ourselves and others, advocacy, and modeling respectful behaviors. Mm. So we've got a group of Native and non-Native leaders who have come together over the last 4 years and have worked together hand in hand to kind of acknowledge that people in our community, both Native and non-Native alike, are still living the experiences that they lived 50 years ago and sometimes way longer. And there's issues of trust,
right,
that are always at the forefront of our and a challenge. And we believe that this work is about developing authentic, trusting relationships, and that really takes time.
It takes time, yeah. And it takes listening. That's one of the things that I've learned from listening to you over the months.
Yeah, a lot of listening, a lot of respect, respectful curiosity, and knowing that change happens at the speed of trust. Mm. We always say that. So we have some great things happening that we are working on. Our real work is building relationships and honoring the history and place where we live.
And that's hard to measure in the sense where other things you can say, how is that going? And you can measure, you know, how many students are graduating from college. But this is, you know, if I say, well, how, you know, you can't quantify how relationships are developing in a way that makes sense for a statistician. You know,
that's right.
But there is a way that it makes sense as progress is made and we take time to listen to one another. Heather, I want to bring you in the conversation because this, the research that you've been doing, this Inconvenient Truth, and you can go on our website at listen.sdpb.org and find links to research material and also our previous conversations. When we first started talking about this, and this is, I'll let you give an overview here in a moment, but I knew people, I think all of us knew people would be interested in hearing the story, and I'm not sure I knew how many people would be interested in hearing the story and the impact that research would have on people's lives, but maybe you saw it all the time. So give us an overview again for listeners just tuning in, what this research project is about.
Absolutely. I think we have been equally surprised by the level of interest both locally and nationally, and that interest was sort of fortified yesterday when we had a team from Washington, D.C. here who was extremely interested in it and wanted to learn more about it. But yes, there was a series of boarding schools throughout the United States, as many people know, where Indian children were removed from their homes and sent to these remote boarding schools, and one of those was located here in Rapid City. It was called the Rapid City Indian Boarding School, and it was located on the west side of what is now called Susan. And there was approximately 1,200 acres of much of West Rapid City that belonged to that boarding school, the Indian Boarding School. And in the 1940s, the city and the school district, the Chamber of Commerce, actually went to Congress in order to sort of gain access to those Indian boarding school lands, much to the opposition of the Native American community here in Rapid City. much of that 1,200 acres was allocated for free to the city, the school district, and the National Guard. Some of it was sold at undervalue to churches in the area, but not a single acre of it was allocated to the Indian community, which was one of the things that was allowed under the statute. And so this is unfortunately not a new story to the Native community. They've been shouting at the top of their lungs about this for decades, but nobody's really been listening. They asked for access to these lands to build a powwow grounds, to build a Sioux Indian Museum, for a Native American community center, and every time it was denied. And so what's been interesting is that the Native community has said that some of those land transactions were untoward, perhaps unethical and maybe even illegal. And our research has proven that that's in fact true, that a handful of those land parcels were transferred without legal permission. And so we as a community, both the city, the school district, the Native community, and the non-Native community, are trying to figure out what's the best resolution to address that going forward.
And not an easy thing to figure at this point in time what the best resolution is when there are so many layers to the history, history there. Where do we stand today? Certainly there's been a broad interest and people wanting to know more. What happens next?
It's such a good question, Lori. It is so complex, and it could get very heated and difficult. I think what has impressed us as a team the most is that both the Native and the non-Native community want to try to do this in a good way. Mm. We have had no one come up to us in an angry way. Everybody wants to find a positive solution to move forward. And I think what we're finally starting to see as a community as a whole is that things that are quote-unquote good for the Native community, like an urban Indian center, a museum that focuses on Natives, powwow grounds, are good for the whole community. It brings in economic development. It raises the quality of life. We have international visitors that come from all over the world, and the one thing they want to spend their money on is Indian history, Lakota history. And so bringing these things for the Native community, as people might think, is actually good for the entire community. And I think the mayor, the school district, everybody's finally starting to internalize that.
One of the things I was thinking this week, as I've spent several days now in the Black Hills, and I was thinking about you folks coming and talking to us today, and I wonder if you think the same thing. I was just like, what if, instead of thinking, oh, we know what's going to happen, we know how this is going to end, we understand history, but what if this a conversation like this could have a resolution that no one has thought of yet? Mm-hmm. What if? Do you think about that? Mm-hmm. Like the potential. It's not just about overcoming a barrier. It's about removing them all and saying, okay, well, we start from scratch, building these relationships at the speed of trust. Who knows what could happen and how other people could look to this community and say, they took this really complex issue and they moved forward mm-hmm. in this way. It could be a model.
It absolutely
moving
could
forward.
Be
Are you
a model.
That optimistic?
Some days I'm yeah. really feeling blue. And then every now and then you'll have an Unchia grandmother or someone mm-hmm. from the non-Native community like yesterday that comes up with an idea that I never would have thought
right.
of.
Yeah.
Never would have thought of. And it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Absolutely brilliant. And I think that this story is just a microcosm of the larger issues we struggle with of Native displacement in South Dakota. And I think it's giving people a relatively safe place to think creatively, like you mm-hmm. said.
Yeah. Sarah Pierce with Rapid City Area School District, Director of Indian Education. Oh, it's summer, but, those school supplies are out. Changes in the curriculum and methods. Tell us a little bit about what to look forward to in the fall. What kind of story are we talking about today with this?
Well, I'm really excited, actually. So this coming school year will unleash a lot of new changes within the realm of Title VI. I do have to preface with the fact that the support that the Title VI program has had, both at the community level and the administrative level within the school district, has been absolutely amazing. Each of our new initiatives is both tied to a partnership with a community entity and or different sub-entities within our school district. So it's not the lone show of our program to carry all of this weight, but we have a team of excellent people. So we have four primary areas of focus going into next year.
All right, okay. And we're going to talk about those four areas of focus here, but we do have to take a break.
Okay,
quick.
Perfect.
So we'll gather our thoughts, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with this group here on SDPB in the moment. Stay with us. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live this week from SDPB's Black Hills Bureau. With us, we have representatives from Miniluzaha, Kolakichiapi ambassadors. Karen Mortimer is here, Heather Don Thompson, and Sarah Pierce. And we're talking with Sarah Pierce about stuff for the fall, Rapid City Area School District. She is director of Indian Education for the district. Sarah, where do you want to start?
Okay, so we have four primary initiatives within the Office of Title VI Indian Education. And the exciting new things, well, they're not new, but the exciting new implementation includes the hiring of two brand new Ocheri Shakoin Essential Understandings teachers, and they will be resources for the entire district to infuse, model, and scaffold the implementation of OSEUs and then see where we're at as a district as far as the implementation goes and who's using them, who isn't, and where the reluctance may lie. We're also partnering with the Thunder Valley Lakota Immersion Program, and so we will be offering a full Lakota language course at General Beadle to complement the existing courses at North Middle School and Central High School. So that's really exciting. We have some really passionate educators in that who are really exemplary teachers, so it'll be exciting to see that. And then we have, as part of the Rapid City Schools Whole Child Initiative, Title VI will be working specifically with trauma-informed care and culturally responsive professional development for staff. Included in that is a partnership with Tamara Miyasato at Thai Learning Center, and then we'll also be working with other district personnel as well.
That's an exciting list of things that are rolling out.
Yes, pretty ambitious, but I mean, I'm really excited just because of the passion that everyone has for each of these initiatives. It's really exciting.
Right. And again, same question. I mean, what if? Are you optimistic? There are days that are more discouraging, and then there are days where the clouds clear and you think, well, what we're doing here could make a greater difference than even what we have imagined.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be in education if I wasn't an optimist. We're an industry that, hasn't evolved in 150 years. So I feel like being a change agent is a perfect opportunity. So right now. So.
You mentioned resistance and just sort of, having the resources and the availability. So how do you overcome that resistance? It goes back to the same fundamentals, just overcoming, building those relationships. And do you have thoughts on overcoming resistance about sort of, a teacher who's like, oh, there's so much that I have to think about. I don't have time for one more thing.
Resistance usually comes in the form of fear. I mean, it comes from fear or something to that effect. And I feel like just taking time to listen, hearing where the fears are coming from, and then helping them walk through the process and knowing that they're not alone in that. Because I think that untreaded waters are scary for anyone to venture out into. So just being able to be, a lifeline in those situations.
Right. Karen, new things coming forward. You have some highlights of what's next for MOA.
Absolutely. It's always interesting to take the relationship building into something more tangible that people can hang on to. Yeah. So just a couple highlights. We've been able to develop a sentencing alternative, working with the courts and the city attorneys for cases that are racially charged. And we've developed something called the Cultural Impact Panel. We're just starting it. We've had our first case. Very interesting. We're actually working also with some community members and Visit Rapid City to figure out how to make the Black Hills powwow the best in the nation by 2021. And we've got some big issues going on, big things that we'll be able to report in October. Of course, supporting the school initiatives, working with our superintendent, we're going to develop a community meeting to help our community understand what Sarah just talked about in terms of the Ocheti Shakoin standards and the Lakota language, and just involve and engage the community. So we're excited to do that. And finally, in support, there's other things, but this I'm going to leave you with this, the in support of the work with the Susan Lands issue, which I totally I want to underline and thank Heather again for all her incredible work, a remarkable gift she's given to our community, because this really could be a place for us to heal. And it's so metaphorical in terms of treaty issues. And more and more people are paying attention. You also can find all the written information on our website, moarapidcity.org. So if people are interested in more information, you can find that information there. But on October the 8th, we are working on developing a memorial event, which is Native American Day, at the Susan Lands area, and details to follow. But we're very to honor the children who died there.
Wow.
Important work.
Very important work. Heather, you're you're part of this. Keith Braveheart is going to be after a news break, and we really have about 2 minutes left with this group here. But I asked him, he came in yesterday, recorded, and I asked him, do you see yourself as a leader in the art community? Because I see you as a leader in the art community. And he said, and I will never forget this, I see myself as a relative more than a leader. And I thought I could think a long time about the difference between being a leader and being a relative. Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself as a leader in this? How do you sort of see your role?
That's such a good question, and props to Keith Braveheart. He's an amazing artist. If you haven't seen his stuff, definitely look it up. I see myself as a piece in the puzzle. This project, this research, this fighting for the children started long before me. This is generations and generations of grandmothers that have been fighting to have their voices heard. And they worked for generations to send their children to be educated in Western ways, and they sent me to law school, and they sent me to Harvard, so that I could come back and uncover the things that they've been trying to say for all these years.
Heather Dawn Thompson, Sarah Pierce, Karen Mortimer with Minneluzahan Okolokichiapi Ambassadors, Rapid City Circle of Friends. Again, that website, moarapidcity.org, October 8th, Memorial Event. Look for more details. Hopefully you'll come back and talk to us. Karen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for your interest and for sharing this with South Dakota.
Sarah, thank you so much, and good luck this school year getting all the pencils and the cases back together and the new curriculum and doing the great work that you have ahead of you. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Heather, thank you so much as well. We look forward to learning more about the research and taking those next steps along your side.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.